The Doyle sits this afternoon to hear statements on the COVID-19 pandemic and its impact on the economy. The session was called for by Sinn Féin and some of the left groupings in the Doyle, but not everyone is happy. Labour TDs won't be there because they say it's inappropriate to meet when the whole country has been told to stay at home. Minister for Justice Charlie Flanagan is staying away for the same reason. Meanwhile, the more pressing matter of trying to form a new government proceeds, with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael trying to agree a document perhaps before the end of this week, according to the Taoiseach. Let's talk now to Dr. Teresa Reedy, lectures in politics at University College Cork, and to our political correspondent, Paul Cunningham. Good morning to you both, and thanks for taking time to talk to us. Paul, perhaps firstly and briefly, we might just look at this session this afternoon in the Doyle. What's going to be happening? What's this all about?
Well, we're going to have statements on health and social protection. This had been slated. In other words, this session was due to happen. It was during the week and after the Taoiseach had announced that there was going to be such a severe tightening up of rules on how we as individuals are going to live within our society, and there was going to be something of a lock-in, that there were questions earlier on this week about whether or not the session should take place. And there were two questions, really. One was that there wasn't going to be a vote to elect a new Taoiseach because not enough progress had been made, so there was no point. And the second thing was that no legislation can be passed by the deputies due to the absence of a functioning Seanad. And that led to extensive discussions involving the Ciarán Cóirlín and the Clerk of the Doyle as to whether or not there were merits in holding the session or whether it should just be postponed for a week. One of the interesting interventions came from the Secretary General of the Department of the Taoiseach, Martin Fraser. Now, he wrote to the Clerk of the Doyle, Peter Finnegan, and this is what he said. In essence, everyone in the country has been asked to stay at home, subject to the limited exceptions which have been published by the government. To do otherwise is to risk the spread of COVID-19 disease and put fellow citizens, including those working on the front line of our health service, at risk. I'm sure this public health advice will be uppermost in your mind in the considerations of the business committee at this extraordinary time. Now, that particular intervention irked an awful lot of TDs. One of them told me yesterday, borrowing a phrase from Sean O'Rourke earlier on this week, what constituency was Martin Fraser elected in? In other words, this is a matter for TDs, for deputies to decide when they're going to meet. And last night, David Cullinan came out saying the government is acting in a caretaker capacity, operating with sweeping new powers, and therefore it's vital that ministers are held to account. And today's proceedings make sense because you're able to put questions to the Social Welfare Minister, Regina Doherty, at a time when so much money is being spent. The big parties more or less stayed out of it. Fianna Fáil said it had no issue with the proposal of postponing. Fine Gael said it was up to the Ciarán Cóirlín, but ultimately, with Sinn Féin, with People Before Profit, with independent TDs like Thomas Pringle demanding a session, the decision was taken that today's session would happen.
All right. Before I bring Teresa in on the government formation question, Paul, just give us a quick sense of where we are in relation to that, where these talks are at between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
They progressed very well. They had positive discussions this week, and that would have come from both parties. The Taoiseach said that an agreed document could be completed this week or next, and approaches would then be made to other parties. So one of the other parties is definitely going to be the Greens, even though the Greens themselves seem to be saying it's their way or the highway. There can only be a national unity of government or nothing. Just look at Nessa Horrigan, one of their new TDs. She said in a tweet, the current Fianna Fáil Fine Gael proposal is a naked power grab based on personal political ambition with no thought of the national crisis we face and the lives being lost. Another party would be the Social Democrats. They've set themselves against going in with Fianna Fáil, and Fine Gael said the policies wouldn't align. And then you've also got the Labour Party, who were the first party after the election to say that the best place for Labour was on the opposition benches and that they would support policies from there. So all three parties, which Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil will be looking towards, have all said they don't want to go in. The question would be, once that proposal next week is put on their table and the parliamentary parties have to vote on it, will they stick to that line or will they change?
Right. Teresa, making policies align. In normal times, I suppose, parties sit down around the table, they put their manifestos on the table and they try to reach some kind of a compromise based on those electoral commitments. You're making the point this morning that it's hard to see how any progress can be made on government formation because these manifestos that we debated and discussed just a few weeks ago are, as you put it, pie in the sky now.
Yeah, I suppose the main thing to understand is in terms of the process of government formation, when parties come together to have discussions, the manifesto documents are the main inputs, or they provide the kind of basis or foundation for a lot of those discussions. And manifestos themselves are often developed over 12 to 18 months, so they will contain a variety of different policies that have been thought out, and also usually costed by the parties themselves, and oftentimes by the Department of Finance in the lead into the general election. Now, we find ourselves in a scenario where the economic backdrop against which these discussions are going to take is utterly transformed. So in the lead into the election, we spent a lot of time talking about fiscal space of 11 billion euros, but now we have a fiscal back hole, to stick with the kind of galactic references. Mm-hmm. And as a consequence, it's very difficult to see how rapid progress can be made by the political parties, because the key raw materials, the main inputs into this process that they would usually be working with, are really no longer relevant. So it presents an additional challenge to what is already difficult government negotiations.
But it's also the case that no government taking office in the next couple of weeks or months can possibly know what's in prospect, even by the end of this year. So commitments even that could be hammered out at this stage, faced as we are with this crisis, might simply have to be torn up and redrafted, redrawn, started again as events develop.
Absolutely, because the economic context is now moving at a very fast pace. So the initial government strategy that was announced for this dealing with the coronavirus was around 3 billion. We know based on measures announced last week, that's increased up to 7 billion. KBC Bank produced a report yesterday which said it could potentially reach 30 billion by the end of the year. And I think the important thing to keep in mind is that in addition to all of the extra spending which the government is putting in place to keep the economy on a lifeline, we're also going to see a contraction in the revenues coming into government. So there's going to be less income tax, less corporation tax. So there's going to be a very large gap opening up in the public finances. And while the EU fiscal rules have been suspended, and there's every reason to believe that the European Union is taking quite a different approach to this crisis than it did to the last crisis, it still remains the case that the country is racking up very significant debts as it progresses. Now, I think it's probably argued that it's a very good cause, and that it's a very advisable set of policies, but it does mean that the kind of policies that we were talking about in the run-up to the election, Fine Gael wanted to spend 5 billion in the health over that time, 400 million being invested in childcare. Fianna Fáil were very keen to invest in 50,000 houses, increases in estate pension. Those kind of resources simply aren't on the table anymore, and there's all this uncertainty about how many resources will be available. So it makes it quite difficult to think that the kind of policies that they were talking about are relevant. And I think there's also a communication job to be done for the political parties in terms of connecting with the voters and with the electorate, because in the run-up to the election, expectations were created about what was going to be possible, what different parties would do, but none of those are really relevant in the current scenario anymore.
Yes, the notion of a programme for government in any conventional sense perhaps is something that we should for the moment dispense with. We'll leave it there. Teresa Reedy from Cork, and our own correspondent Paul Cunningham, thank you both very much indeed for that.